Buying a car in Carvana was so easy. I was able to finance it through them.
Whoa, wait, you mean finance?
Yeah, finance. Got pre-qualified for a Carvana auto loan, entered my terms, and shopped from thousands of great car options all within my budget.
That's cool that financing through Carvana was so easy.
Financed. Done. And I get to pick up my car from their Carvana vending machine tomorrow.
Financed.
Right, that's what I said.
You can spend time trying to pronounce financing, or you can actually finance and buy your car today on
Carvana.
Financing subject to credit approval. Additional terms and conditions may apply.
Welcome to the Wheeler Dealer Podcast, supported by MyMotorWorld.com. Discover over 70,000 car parts, car care products, accessories, and tools from the biggest and best brands in the automotive industry. At MyMotorWorld.com, we've got the lot.
Hello, everyone. My name's Mike Brewer, and welcome to the Wheeler Dealer Podcast. Sitting beside me in the passenger seat, as always, is my wingman on the road. It is none other than Mr.
That in the back
Hold on, Mr. Andy J. Let me get his name out first.
Anderson.
And in the back of the car, shouting from the rear seats, as always.
I've got my feet up.
It's Mrs. B. What do you mean you've got your feet up? That's illegal in the back of a car.
Sit
there with your seatbelt on and be quiet.
I can still put
please.
My feet up.
So welcome to another Wheeler Dealer Podcast, where we've got an amazing guest for you this week, and we can't wait to bring him to you. It's been a good one, hasn't it, Andy? We're getting sort of people shouting out at us now online, telling us what they think.
Yeah, do you know what? I'm used to reading the nice comments that we've been having via your Facebook or Twitter or whatever, but actually people have started remarking on the podcast itself as well. So when you kind of go to the pod information, you can see the reviews and the ratings. And a quick shout out to Daz. He told us, I love this pod. He's a huge petrol head and an HGV driver, and now he has us in his cab and we go on his journeys with him. So how lovely is that? Big shout out to you, Daz. Thank you for that.
Thank you, Daz.
That's genuinely really nice messages.
Yeah, and if you want to give us a 5-star review, maybe we'll read you out online. You never know, it could be just like Daz.
There you go. Join
Daz. Only if you're a black cab driver, though. If you drive Ubers, they're not involved.
That was our guest, by the way. More of which in a minute. If you want to reach out to us, don't forget you can find us and leave those reviews on all forms of social media. It's Mrs. M. Brewer on Twitter and Instagram. She loves her followers. It's Mr. Andy J. on Twitter and Instagram.
Yeah,
I'm private.
It's Mike Brewer, Twitter and Instagram. And Wheeler Dealer on Facebook. So make sure that you leave your messages and your reviews. Right then, Andy. This is going to be a belter, isn't it?
Do you know what? I want to jump straight in with our guest for two simple reasons. A, he's incredibly funny. And B, I actually think that there's a possibility he might be your son.
Oh, my God. Another one.
It is technically possible.
Isn't it?
Yeah, me and Mrs. B have been together for 34 years, and this young man, I guess, is 33 years of age. So if Mrs. B let loose in a year into our relationship, which I'm going to tell you never bloody happened, right, we could have had this man as our son. But please, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the podcast. It's Kay!
Yes! Yay!
Can we start calling you Kay Brewer from now on?
No.
Okay.
So, first and foremost, for the listeners out there, Kay, before we get into nitty-gritty, tell us who you are, what you do.
Lovely. Thank you for having me, first and foremost. My name's Kay Curd. I'm a comedian, podcaster, whatever, voiceover artist, whatever you want to call it these days. I do everything. Mainly stand-up comedy. I'm on tour in the autumn, so, yeah, come and see me.
Lovely.
Love it.
Well, that was a quick plug to get you touring.
What of course.
Have you got somewhere else to go after this?
No,
we're going to sit you down.
I've done a lot of this. You've got to get it in quickly.
Mrs. B's going to interrogate you for the next 50 minutes. You ain't going nowhere. So, Kate.
You can call her mum if you like.
How long's your tour?
I'm not going to stop this.
How long's your show?
The show itself will be just an hour.
An hour?
Yeah.
In and out.
An hour. Well, I love a support act as a DJ.
It's a whole sort of night out.
Yeah. We like to make it like a fun experience. So you come in, DJ's blasting music.
How good is that?
And where'd you start?
It's going to start in Birmingham. And then we end in London at the Hammersmith Apollo.
That's a show.
Oh.
Yeah. That'll be amazing. Yeah. Are you nervous about that one?
Do you know what? More excited rather than nervous. I think...
You've done live at the Apollo.
I've got twice.
Yeah, but headline the Apollo.
Yeah, but doing the Apollo for your own gig is going to be mental. It's one of those things where, me and Mike lived in the same estate.
Yeah, we're going to talk about
that. This is why you could be related.
We actually have a tenuous link. It's very good.
So when you're from an area like that, you don't ever think about, you know, headlining... The Apollo, but it's just seeing my name up on the front is just going to be overwhelming. I think I haven't thought about it much until it actually happens. I'm not really thinking about it, but it's just exciting more than
anything. Okay, take it in and enjoy every single moment. I walked down the Las Vegas Strip once and see my face and name on the side of a skyscraper. Incredible. And I come from the same block of flats as you. But you didn't start life in that block of flats. You actually started life in a different country.
Yeah,
you came here as a refugee. Just fill us in your backstory.
Yeah, so obviously I come from a Kurdish background. My parents were part of the resistance fighting against Saddam Hussein. My dad got injured in battle, mustard gas poisoning, and we came here in 1990. I was 6 months old, and we moved to Brixton. And I grew up in Tulse Hill and Streatham my whole life. So, yeah.
Right, okay, so this is a tenuous link. So meeting Kay for the first time this morning, we discover we lived on the same council estate.
Yeah.
See, I was in Dearmer House.
At the same time?
At the, not
this
the same
is the
time.
Thing. It was no, just after same. You guys got married. Kay moves in as a baby.
I mean, I was in Brixton.
I lived on the Tulse Hill estate in Dearmer House, and you were in...
Lansdale House.
And get this, everyone, me and Kay went to the same school. We went to Brockwell Primary.
Yeah, Brockwell Primary School, absolutely.
I just remember that little school still today. I can remember it being picked up and
still
dragged
there.
Home by Mrs. Middleton.
Still there?
It's still there, yeah. It's changed its
name.
No,
they knocked it down and they rebuilt it to Jubilee Primary School.
Because
Brockwell wasn't doing so well. I think it failed like Offset exams and stuff.
Well, look what they turned out. They turned us two out, didn't they?
There must have been magic in there, though, because look at the pair of you. You've both done really well.
I think it was in spite of that, rather than because of it.
Do you know what I remember? I remember it being the most diverse place you could ever be. For a little 6, 7, 8, 9-year-old, it was incredibly diverse. There was everyone there from all over the world, basically, put into this little melting pot.
And everyone got on.
And at that age, there is no, distinction between colour or creed. Everyone just sort of, you want to play football? Do you want to play Tin Tan Tommy? Do you want to play knockout? You know, and that's us.
We're South London was like that.
Was Tin Tan Tommy?
I didn't know what that was.
Well, the kids on the estate, the kids on the old Tulse Hill estate, we used to rock Tin Tan Tommy in that summer of 77, in the summer of 77. Which was the hot.
No, exactly. Even football's back then.
My mum used to send me out the house with a hoop and the washing.
A
washing stick.
I can't imagine you hula hooping.
That was it.
I can't imagine you hula hooping.
Because he was too busy Tin Tan Tommying.
Tin Tan Tommy used to run up to people's...
Tommy wasn't something that usually happened to you about 15.
It's a bit like, knockout, where you knock on somebody's door and run away.
The thing was, you'd knock on a door and people used to make up excuses. Like, that guy's a paedophile, right? So we're going to knock on his door. Poor bloke just lived alone, and we just started calling
that's
him a paedophile.
It turns out it was Mike. You were knocking on Mike's door.
Well, please, no, I wasn't there then. No. I didn't live there then.
But some poor bloke's living alone, and we're just like knocking on his door.
Can you imagine that? If it was Kay knocking on your door, except it was what he was calling it then. Let's call it knock door run. That seems like the safest thing.
Let's change the subject very quickly.
Nice to see you again.
It's nice to see you again, Kay. Yeah, we're brothers from
Sorry
the same.
About
We are brothers from the same hood.
We've got a DNA test coming later.
Yeah, and that will never
like
be
Jeremy Kyle.
That brotherhood will never be broken between me and Kay. How do you make that leap then? When do you first discover, maybe it's at school or later on, when do you first discover you can make people laugh?
Do you know what? I think I didn't really sort of become aware of it up until I was at college, because I was a little fat kid when I was growing up, and throughout school, I was just trying to, make everybody comfortable. But I was a bit of a nerd as well. But it was when I went to college, I lost a bit of weight. And then I started, trying to...
Get a bit of confidence.
Yeah.
What did you study at college?
So I did biology, physics, and chemistry. Oh. No, I did biology, maths and chemistry, and government and politics.
So and government and politics. Were you just not sure?
Well, no.
What
do you know?
I'm going to hedge my bets.
No, do you know where it was? It was coming from my hat family. You sort of had to be political from a young age. Right?
So while you're learning about mesons and quarks, you're also going, do you know what? I'm also going to make sure I can run the country.
Yeah, exactly. Nice. Yeah, exactly. So it's sort of just I found it easy. I just found government. Nice. I found politics easy. It was just half the kids in my class didn't even know who, like, at the time, like, John Major was and stuff like that. And I was like, oh yeah, John Major, he was a former prime minister. And they were like, oh, they didn't have a clue. So, which is an indictment of the education system in this country.
Yes,
but yeah, I just found it easy, and I wanted to be a doctor. Eventually, I went to uni and did biomedical sciences. I got into King's to do medical to go to medical school, and then I messed up my grades. And
wow! Hold on a minute. You sound like the world's most intelligent comedian.
Oh, no, at all.
Sat in front of, but you still haven't answered the question. When did you discover that there was
a college?
College.
But when I went to uni, because when I was working and stuff in like part time jobs and stuff, people were always like, oh, you're funny, you should do stand up. I had no clue how you did it. Right. I had no clue what a stand up night was or anything like that. Don't get me wrong, I'd watch comedy on TV, but I just thought, oh, people just do that on TV. That's just, it's not something we get involved with. Do you know what I mean? Like, and then one night I was out with a few mates. We went to a comedy show. And at this point, I'd already started trying to get on radio and hosting live music and poetry nights and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And people would always give me feedback there saying, oh, you're quite funny. And one of the guys at the comedy show recognized me and he was all like, do you want to get in stand-up? And I was like, yeah, I'll give it a go. And he's like, do 5 minutes tonight. And I was like, oh, nice.
Okay. Yeah. So this is like not an open mic session. You turn up to see somebody else and somebody hands you the mic for 5 minutes.
Yeah, yeah. So I did about 2.5 minutes. I got one laugh and I got off stage, right? And I was like...
Still got the laugh, though.
Yeah, yeah. I got that one laugh. And the buzz was immense, but it was so scary. It was like nothing before. Like, my leg was shaking and I'd never had that before. I'd always done public speaking at school and stuff like that, but... The moment you put me on stage and the objective was to be funny, yeah, I was shaking like a leaf. I'd never felt like that before in my life.
Yeah, because it's the first time ever you're actually saying, love me, love me, love my joke, come on, find me funny.
Exactly. And the thing is, whenever you brand something as comedy, people immediately raise their expectations. Yeah. So if you're just doing a talk somewhere and you put in a couple jokes, people tend to give you a lot more for it because they didn't expect it to be funny.
Right.
Whereas if you're going with the intention of laughing... Your standards.
This is why you introduce yourself as a voiceover
artist. Yeah. So when you're doing your talking tour, you're talking to us later on this year, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, that's fantastic. So did you, once you discovered you had a laugh and you loved the buzz and the thrill of it, when did you turn it into a profession? When did you go, do you know what, I'm going to start making...
You?
Well, we're going to get to the comedy heroes.
So which one should I go for
first? Let's find out how you thought you could turn this into a profession and that first moment.
So, I started taking it seriously in about 2014, right? In 2014, I started taking it seriously. I was like, you know, I quit my job. And I was like, let me give this a go for about a year and see what happens. And then I got management. And then from there, I started getting into more and more comedy clubs, regular slots and stuff. And I was like, oh, wow, like this is
working.
This is working,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
I could do something with this. And then I got on Live at the Apollo in 2018, and I still had a part-time job at the time just to supplement the income. And
what were you doing?
I worked at the Apple Store.
Did you?
Yeah, I did.
So were you a genius?
Was you Justin? I was one of the specialists.
Are you Justin?
It's Justin.
Justin, every Apple Store we've ever been to in the world. It's, hiya, my name's Justin. Have you got a broken phone? Oh, don't, it's amazing, your broken phone. Look at your phone, it's the most amazing phone.
Well, yeah, I was
ever.
Very positive.
Everyone is in an Apple
You have
Store.
To be, yeah, yeah.
They're all called Justin as well. I've got a bit of Harry, I've got an Apple Store if you want it.
Go on then.
You want it?
Do it.
Right. So there is genuine real, I mean, for real, right now, Harry Potter style magic happening where you used to work in an Apple Store.
This really winds Mike up.
It really winds me up because there's real magic happening.
Really?
Because at the front of an Apple Store, there's people standing there lifting up the lids of iMacs going, oh,
amazing.
Holding on to iPhones going, touching iMacs on the table, the 24-inch iMacs.
Yeah,
I want that in my life. But there's this invisibility cloak between them and the 200 people at the back of the store, all clutching on to broken iPhones, broken iMacs, and broken iPads. And they can't see them. You wouldn't walk in... If you walked into McDonald's and somebody was throwing the burgers back at the staff behind the counter saying, this tastes like crap and I'm not eating it, you would not eat there.
Fair enough.
But for some reason, people are looking... They stand next to somebody with a broken iPhone buying an iPhone. And I think that doesn't happen in any other shop in any other business on the planet. Well, because that's Harry Potter magic.
It's because all the other manufacturers, they don't fix your stuff for you.
Yeah, he's still working for Amazon.
He's actually working for Amazon. You say it doesn't happen in any other... But it must happen in the automotive world. People must buy cars that they know. Like, for example, there are certain brands, I'm not sure whether we should mention them now, but there are certain brands that have notorious challenges.
Alfa Romeo.
With reliability. You said Alfa Romeo, Jaguar Land Rover with their electronics, and so on. People are kind of that you know that if you're buying them, there's a strong chance, there's a higher percentage chance that that car you've bought is going to need a repair faster than other manufacturers.
But you're still going to
buy them.
Yeah. Well, they do. Yes, but I've never seen it more evident. They don't stand side by side with somebody in an Apple store buying a piece of tech when somebody's standing next to them with a piece of the same broken tech.
It's kind of easy if you go to a garage, though. You know, you go to look at something, and then one's being pulled in to get fixed.
But guys, like it on Apple Podcasts, the podcast, and, you know, give it a 5-star review. It is on Apple Podcasts.
Justin,
make sure you give it a 5-star review.
Let's get to Michelle's question.
Well, we cut you off, literally. So you were working part-time in the Apple store, not as a genius, but nonetheless, Justin.
And then I did Live at the Apollo, and then the moment it aired, I quit my job the next day and I've been full-time ever since.
Boom.
And then the pandemic happened.
So who inspired
2 months later.
You? Who inspired you?
Eddie Murphy. I was a massive Eddie Murphy fan when I was younger. Watching Raw was like magic. Russell Peters, he was an American comic. Canadian, sorry. And in the UK, I loved Kevin Bridges.
Really?
Yeah, I love Kevin Bridges.
I love him.
Yeah, he's incredible. But it was a lot of American comics like Chris Rock and... one of my favourite comics now and for the past few years has been Bill Burr.
Yeah.
He's probably like my favourite comedian of all time. Him and Eddie Murphy are like the ones that battle it out for me, yeah.
It's a real talent, isn't it? Being able to stand in a room in front of people that you've never met before and just make them belly laugh.
Well, that's the challenge, right? But the moment people actually know you're funny, you've sort of won half the battle. But there's nothing more fun than going into a room where they have no clue who you are.
Yeah.
And you're getting them laughing, whereas like once people are actually coming to see you, it's incredibly humbling. But at that point, you're like, I've already won the battle because you're already invested.
Yeah,
yeah.
Must be great.
Oh yeah, yeah. It's wonderful.
The buzz and the thrill from it must be fantastic. You know, when you've got that audience in the palm of your hands and they're just laughing, you can then basically get away with saying anything, and they will laugh at it because you've got them. You're on that.
Yeah.
You're flowing with them.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and it's also why I sort of don't like when people take things out of context from stand-up nights, because when you're in the room, there's a different feel to it. And it's like any live performance, right? When you're going to see a band, it's never as good when it's recorded or you're watching a video of it, is it? Like, you know when you go to a concert and people are like filming it?
Yeah,
drives
me
crazy.
Yeah, like, well, you're not going to watch that
crazy.
Back. You're not going to watch that back. Never going to watch that back.
Oh, I love this song. I could better record the whole version, which is not as good as the other versions that they've actually put out properly.
Exactly.
But instead of actually being in the moment.
Yeah, but it's the same thing with stand up. It's like music in that sense, where it's like when you're in the room, it's 100 times better. And there's just the atmosphere of it and stuff. Like when you're in that room, you're sharing a special bond, especially stuff that happens like in a moment, like crowd work and stuff like that. I find when it goes online, people don't really understand the context of it.
Yeah.
So people are always like, well, that's mean. Why are you do? It's like the person didn't mind. Do you know what I mean?
They were
like,
loving it.
Yeah, they were loving it. So why are you getting involved?
What about the hecklers? What about the people that shout out from
I don't
from
usually get a lot of
you
hecklers.
Don't?
I don't get
I've seen Jimmy Carr a couple of times and he always seems to, I don't know whether he plants them in the audience, but he gets hecklers, and that man's brutal takedown.
100%,
They are brutal.
But I think he invites it.
I think Jimmy
invites it a lot more so. He does tell people to sometimes
give
participate.
It to me.
Yeah.
Yeah, give it
and
to
then,
me.
And then he gives it back. But I've found like as I've got through my career, I've only ever had it like a few times, right? But I just think it's my demeanor on stage. I'm you know, South London boy.
Yeah, like South London boy.
Yeah,
nobody's going to mess with you.
Yeah, you come on stage and people are sort of like, all right, So I think I'm lucky in that sense because nowadays I can deal with it fine. But when I was first starting out, I was like,
oh my God, these are my jokes. If anybody throws me off, I've got nothing else. Yeah.
Right, but you suffer the fate of your profession. So, for instance, if your brother's a carpenter, everyone goes, oh, go on, build us a yeah. bench for me garden. Andy's a voiceover artist. People go, Andy, any chance I can borrow you, just do me a little good one for me car dealership. I just need a bit of voiceover. People always asking me to go and buy cars for them. Do you turn up somewhere and somebody, one of your friends' family, go, be funny?
Not so much friends and family, but strangers, when you tell them what you do. That's why, like, if I get in a cab or
go
something...
Go on, tell me a joke.
Yeah, exactly. I just tell them I work in entertainment. And they're like, what do you do? I'm a writer. Which is half true.
Yeah.
Right? I do write for certain TV programmes and stuff.
You write for yourself,
didn't you? Exactly. So, because it just... I've been in journeys where it's actually, oh, go on in. Yeah. Go on in. Like,
so you haven't got a go-to joke then?
No.
You haven't got sort of one standard... You could almost do that from now and have one really, really poor joke.
Something off the back of like a penguin's chocolate bar or something.
Cracker joke.
Just something like that to get them. Oh,
but
you're not very funny.
You style it out so much like that you think it's hilarious. And they'll just be like, have a nice trip, mate.
Do you know, like, it's quite funny when you get certain people going, oh, well, I've never heard of you. And you're like, well...
oh, OK. I've heard of you, though.
Like, that has nothing to do with my success, whether you've heard of me or not. And I also find it funny where people are like, well, I don't find you funny. And it's just like, well, it's just like music, though, isn't it? Yeah. Like, you might like Jay-Z, but somebody else hates him, right? Yeah. It's all down to taste, isn't it?
But you attract people that, like I remember a doctor was so desperate to tell me that they didn't have a telly. Like, desperate. You know, like, oh, no, I haven't seen any of your shows. I don't watch I haven't got a TV.
Right. But also, it's just like, what makes...
Of course you don't.
Okay, fine, you don't have it. You're a loser. Like, well, why do you not have a TV?
I wake up every day to somebody telling me I can't stand watching you and I don't watch you anymore. And I go, well... Thank you.
Still follow you on Twitter, though.
Still follow you. Yeah.
Yeah. What you need to do at that point is just log on to your online banking, have a laugh, and then move on.
I do. I print off my statements, put it down on the floor, kneel over it. I did say to somebody quite a good teardown. I thought it was funny. I said, excuse me, I just lost your tweet. It went past. I was busy talking to the swimming pool guy about raising the temperature. Anyway, talking of success, let's talk about your online success, because you've jumped online as well. So tell us about that.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think in this day and age, it's so important to be on people's phones, right? More so than, I think, on TV. Like, being on things like this is so much more important than actually trying to, like, get a 5-minute slot on a TV program or something like that. So I always used to be funny in comedy clubs and people were like, oh, are you online? And I was like, yeah, I've got an Instagram account, but I don't really put anything on there. I've got a YouTube account, I don't really put anything on there. And then I sort of thought to myself, I'm missing a trick here. So I ended up putting a lot of videos on my Instagram, on my YouTube and stuff like that. And we filmed a whole special and put it on YouTube. Done a lot. It got me a lot of views. And then that got me live at the Apollo the first time round. And then throughout the pandemic, I was releasing so many videos.
Nice.
I was, because, like, your income's gone, isn't it?
Got to do something.
I've got to do something. Instead of making banana bread, I'm going to make videos. And
banana bread.
Well, I never got round to it, to be honest. Yeah.
You're missing out.
Yeah. Oh,
sourdough's
man.
The thing, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Videos about you making sourdough funny.
Somehow I don't think that would have done well, you know? I'd leave that to you.
There's only one way to find out.
Well, given my MasterChef experience, I don't think I'll be doing it. They got me making a meringue and I messed that up. It was awful. I don't know if you saw it.
You
just
weren't
never
the first out. That's the thing. That's
I wasn't. But... Man,
you survived a round. That's the way to tell people. Yeah, I was. I survived a round.
But also, I reckon I should have got through that second round. No, I'll tell you why. Yeah, like, because the people I was on with, they were baking throughout the whole. I was like, this ain't Bake Off, bruv. Cook something.
It's good to know you're not bitter about it.
No, I'm not.
It.
But
you've let it go.
But yeah, I was beaten by Paul Chuckle, innit? Like, let's.
What happened to the meringue then?
So you go in this room, right?
Yeah.
And just beat him egg white, isn't it?
Meringue?
That's all it is.
Did it not cook?
Let me just explain what
He's
happened.
To
right?
Excuse meringue away to the lady that bakes for the nation.
We will talk about cars at some point.
No.
I promise.
Yeah, we will. But I was the last to film my baking challenge, right? and you go into this room, and John Turode and Greg Wallace are there, and they're not talking to you. So you walk into this massive room, and you're going up to the counter, and they're not talking to you, they're not giving you eye contact or anything, and then they're like, action! And then they start talking to you, and they're like, here's a picture of what we want you to make. It's called Floating Islands on a Bed of Creme Anglaise, right?
Sounds nice.
What is that?
Well, clearly it's meringues.
Yeah, exactly. But you wouldn't have known if I'd have told you.
My go-to would have been meringues.
So,
yeah.
Oh, yeah, exactly. So. That's what. Yeah. So they give you this picture, and they're like, here's the ingredients and the equipment. Make it. And I was like, are you having a laugh? Like, I had no idea what I was doing, bruv, right? I was cutting up the vanilla pods, like I was chopping it up, like it was like chives or something.
Would it look good, though?
Yeah. But then, when it finally got made, he was like, this looks like a scrambled egg. I'm not going to try it. So I think I was the only one who didn't try it.
Did you try it?
Listen, no, I didn't try it. No, I was like, even mad. Like, I've seen how it was made. I'm not making that. And a meringue is a hard thing to do. He's like, do you know what a meringue is? I was like, no, I've never had a meringue, right? He was like, when was the last time you baked? I hadn't baked since I was in a food technology class in year 7, right? And he's got me baking a meringue. I was like, yeah, there's no way. I said this to them. They cut it out, yeah? But I said, I would have rather have gone 5 rounds with Mike Tyson than do that again. Wow. It was terrifying. Honestly, I'd have taken the punches. Just don't make me do that again. Because it's one thing getting beaten up, but it's another thing looking stupid. Yeah, I look stupid in front of like the whole nation, right? But my Korean chicken wings were amazing, so that's that.
Oh, that's all right. Yeah, you come back with your Korean chicken. So let's talk about cars now,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Because we've had the
at some point, yeah,
cars. Let's talk about cars.
We have got to mention it.
That's what this podcast's about, no?
Correct. First big royalty check comes your way. First big anything that comes your way that you've made a success of. What's your wheels? What are you going to go and buy? What did you buy?
I mean, I didn't buy anything successful.
Go on.
At the moment, I drive a Toyota CHR.
Right, okay, yeah, good.
Yeah, so it's a hybrid.
Yeah, Toyota.
I mean, yeah.
You do squeam when you say hybrid.
Do you know what it is? Yeah, I used to drive a Yaris, right, before that, yeah? And the thing is, when you're a comedian and you're driving around the country, petrol's expensive, man, so you want to keep costs down. So a hybrid made sense, so I've just sort of stuck with a hybrid, but it's a nicer, bigger one.
I could have seen, because you did a tour in, a stint at the Edinburgh Festival.
Yeah.
Curd Your Enthusiasm.
Yeah.
Which I think is just the greatest name
for
a comedian. You should have been in a Prius. You know, done a proper Larry David, gone all in.
Yeah. Do you know what the thing is? Like, I'd look like an Uber driver, though, doing that,
you
right?
Would. You would.
So I don't
get stopped at every set of traffic lights. Yeah.
Can you imagine going up to
somebody jump in the back?
Say you're going on a date, like, yeah, I'll pick you up, and you turn up in a Prius, like, do you know what I mean? I might, it's just like, yeah.
And then the date gets in the back.
Yeah, yeah. It's never gonna.
Do you want some water?
Just give me 5 stars.
Give me 5-star rating.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, just give me a 5-star.
Yeah, hand sanitizer. 5-star rating.
Yeah, it's just not cool. But I haven't really thought about it that much. But I recently got into one of those new Mercedes, you know, the electric ones. But I got in a back.
Yeah.
Of it, and it's got all these screens and stuff.
You had a chauffeur-driven experience.
Four door.
I had a chauffeur that Mercedes. Yeah. Oh my god. Yeah. That. If I get a royalty and I can afford someone to drive me around, that's what I'm getting in.
You're gonna get
what was that, SLK?
No, it's CQ, ECQ or EQC.
Yeah, that'll start with an E, yeah.
One that's basically built for passengers.
Yes.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah.
Very good. Very cool.
I don't know, I haven't checked it out, but when you see me in one of those, you know I've done well, right?
Okay, we're aiming to make you do well, because right now we're going to give you the opportunity to tell us all about this tour that you're taking. Where can people find it? How can they buy tickets?
It's called Curd Immunity.
also good.
Yeah.
You're good with titles.
Yeah, well, my last tour was called Spoken Curd. So, I mean, I've got all these puns, but eventually when I do an autobiography, it'll be like, you can't polish a curd. So...
That is great.
My style was sort of like an hour of jokes, right? I don't try and like have a lot of themes behind it. I feel like people come out like it's probably a one night out that month or whatever. I just want them to have a good time. Like I said, we've got a DJ involved and everything. It's sort of about me. I'm in my 30s now, so it's about like, what does being a man mean now, and what I'm sort of going through now as well. And people talk about this crisis of masculinity and stuff that's going on, but it's more so about my experiences now as a man and the world at the moment that we're living in and stuff, and how I thought it would be and where it is now. So it's all about that. It starts in autumn. We
start off in Birmingham and then we finish in London. So, yeah, get your tickets at kkurd.com, K-A-E-K-U-R-D.com.
Right, lovely. And people can find you on all forms of social media.
Everything's
as well.
K-Kurd,
so let's just have
a
little plug out for those before we...
It's K-A-E-K-U-R-D on every sort of social platform. I'm on TikTok, Instagram, Facebook. I'm probably on TripAdvisor or... like something as well.
Okay, so make sure you go and visit those sites and go and get a ticket.
Yeah.
Because it will sell quickly.
Yeah, it will.
Tour,
yeah, absolutely.
So
get
a ticket and come and see you in action.
I might even have a Wix account and a Screwfix account as well. So if you follow me on there. Like,
well, let's try and get you a better car. That's what I would say. You're listening to the Wheeler Dealer Podcast brought to you by MyMotorWorld.com. Need something for your vehicle? Screen wash, coolant, wiper blades, brake discs and pads? Engine oils, you name it. Well, check out mymotorworld.com for the exact fit parts and car care products for your pride and joy. That's mymotorworld.com. They've simply got the lot.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Labor Day sale and get 35% off paints and stains August 22nd through September 4th. With prices starting at $31.84, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
If you work as a manufacturing facilities engineer, installing a new piece of equipment can be as complex as the machinery itself. From prep work to alignment and testing, it's your team's job to put it all together. That's why it's good to have Grainger on your side. With industrial-grade products and next-day delivery, Grainger helps ensure you have everything you need close at hand through every step of the installation. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You're listening to the Wheeler Dealer Podcast.
Do you want to know my first car? Is that okay?
Yeah, let's do your first car then. What was your first car?
My first car was a burgundy Ford Fiesta. It was Enreg. Bought it for £400.
You know, that's the kind of thing you don't tell people. You know, that's the kind of thing you keep to yourself.
No.
Maybe just make it up like it was something else.
Why?
It was a Capri, you know, an Escort, something really cool. Just don't tell people.
What's wrong with a Ford Fiesta?
An Enreg Ford Fiesta.
An Enreg Ford Fiesta. The only bad thing about it was burgundy, but it was an amazing car.
Well, I mean,
I sold it for £450.
Well, it's probably.
I made £50 profit.
Well, it's actually worth more money today.
Yes.
It's probably worth more money because the Fiesta is no more. Ford have decided to scrap. Fiesta.
So for electric cars, haven't they?
For electric cars. So the name
That's
is
the
no
question.
More.
How much would it be worth now?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. So those of you out there who can know the value of an Enreg Ford Fiesta in Burgundy.
it's more than £450.
Driven by a famous Kurd comedian. then please let us know.
Did you pass first time?
Second time.
Second time?
Yeah, I passed second time. But apparently we're meant to be safer drivers if you pass second time.
Oh, yeah?
I did an event with George Russell recently, you know, the Formula One driver.
Yeah.
And he said he passed second time as well.
Did he?
So I'm in good company.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm
you
in good
are
company.
In good company. Very good. Now, listen.
Did you pass first time?
I passed first time, when I was in a little Nissan Micra. I thought I failed because as I pulled out the test centre, I clipped the curb and I sort of went, whoa, on the accelerator. I couldn't smoothen it out. And I looked across at the instructor and his head was going backwards and forwards in the passenger seat. And I thought, failed. That was it. As I pulled out the test centre, I failed. So I just basically went through the test knowing I'd failed. And I went round the test, got back. And he went, excellently driven. Well done, you passed.
Oh, wow.
I couldn't believe it. It was amazing because I suppose I was so relaxed. I thought but yes, very fortunate. And then I took my test again on Richard and Judy.
Yeah.
I don't know if you're old enough to remember
that. No, of course.
Richard and Judy. With Richard Madeley, he took his test and I took my test. He failed. And I passed again.
Did that mean they took his license away?
No. He failed.
But the standard of driving has declined so badly in this country.
Oh, it's
right?
Terrible. It's terrible.
I think we should take our tests every 5 years.
Yeah, 10 years. I think
ten years.
10 years.
25
do a little refresh.
Every 25 years.
Every 25. I've seen some.
Not the theory though. Oh my God, I'm not doing that theory again.
We didn't have to do that.
We're old enough not to.
Oh really?
Yeah. So just had to read the number plate.
Oh, was that it?
They stood you at the back of a car
and
went just.
They showed you pictures.
And then they said, "What's it?" But it would be a stop sign. What does that mean? Stop.
Yeah. Well,
what's the sequence of a traffic light? Red, amber, green. Pass. It was as simple as that. That's when we were kids.
I did the theory test when it was like 35 questions. And
yes,
and
catches they a lot of people out.
And they just brought in the hazard perception test. So have you seen the hazard perception?
I've done it. I've done that because
you
I
just
took
click.
It again.
Yeah, you just click. I passed that first time. That was good enough. But yeah, now it's about 100 questions, and you have to get like the margin of error is so small.
High, isn't it? You've got something like 97%.
Yeah.
Well, let's imagine. Here we go, Kay. Let's imagine that you've got a full, clean, beautiful, shiny driver's license, and you can go absolutely anywhere on the planet with your driver's license in any mode of automotive vehicle, right? So I'm now going to open up the keys to my garage, and my garage has got every single car on the planet in it, and I need you to choose a car, preferably a four-seater, that you would take on a journey.
You can have any car you like on
me. Any car you like on me. Ooh, this is a good one, isn't it?
This is...
Are you going to go Aston Martin? Are you going to go Ferrari? Are you like the Lamborghini Urus guy? Or are you more...
Do you know what? The Lamborghini Urus...
I want a Toyota Yaris.
Or a Prius.
The thing is with the Lamborghini Urus, it's all like VW parts, isn't it, anyway?
Yeah, underneath it's an Audi.
Yeah.
Bit of Audi, bit of...
It's all... So you're not really in a Lamborghini, really.
It's only a badge.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a fun drive, though.
Is it? Yeah, I've not driven it. But you want a four-seater?
Well, it'd be nice if you had a four-seater, because you might have a couple of passengers in a minute.
Yeah, we're about to get your passengers.
Look, can we? All right, can I say the route we take first?
Well, if you say the route has to be specific then. So, for instance, Richard Hammond said that he would choose a Impreza rally car because he's going to start off in the Lake District up this windy bit of road.
Okay.
So he chose a car for that bit of road. So where would you start?
Don't have to do that. I want to
go to the States with you lot, and we're going to go East Coast to West Coast.
You want to go East Coast to West Coast across the States?
Yeah.
So there's a challenge here, which is you pick up a plastic bottle of water in New York, and then you get all the way down to Los Angeles, and you take that from the Atlantic to the Pacific, and then you drop it in the other ocean.
Okay.
And that's the kind of thing you'd like to do.
You know,
pick up a bottle of water, travel across America, drop it in there. Right, okay. So think about the car you're going to do it in.
Do you know what? This is so hard, right? Because you've got to think about all the terrains you've got to go through in America.
Yeah, you're going to go through desert, you're going to go through mountains, the Sierras.
You're going to want some good air conditioning.
You're going to want air conditioning because it's going to be hot. You're going to be in the
northeast.
It's going to be cold.
Do you know what? I'm going to go for a gas-guzzling Hummer.
Yeah.
Nice.
Get it?
It's a good shout.
Get it? Good shout.
Very American choice.
Very American. Plus, if anyone shoots at you, I mean, the bullets are just going to bounce straight off. You'll be fine.
I just think it's one of those cars you're never going to... You can't drive that in Britain.
No.
Well, you shouldn't. You shouldn't drive that.
No, you shouldn't. Yeah.
You definitely can't park it.
Yeah, exactly.
I actually see a guy. This is one of the most vulgar things I've ever seen. There's this very posh rally that runs across America by some very wealthy individuals, and they have things like chrome Lamborghinis and big shirts and glasses and Russian girlfriends. You know the kind.
Sequins.
You know the kind.
Their nieces, you mean? They brought their nieces on the
show. You know the kind. Yeah. I was asked to go and interview them at a Barrett Jackson auction that I was hosting me and Michelle were at, and I was asked that they were stopping at the auction. They were stopping at the auction, and they asked me to go and interview them. And I went out there, and this guy turned up in this chrome Lamborghini with this Russian girl with straight and blonde hair and big glasses. And I thought, what an idiot. You know, this guy just looks like an absolute prize planet. But behind him was this cavalcade of cars, and the third car down, they was asking me on the live gallery, go and interview the people in the cars. Third car down was a Humvee.
Yeah.
Red, with Ferrari stitched leather seats inside in a Humvee. And on the top of it was a glass box. And in the glass box was $1 million in cash.
Oh, my word.
Oh, wow.
And they were driving through places like Atlanta and Georgia where people can't feed and clothe themselves. And they thought that was fun.
That's hideous.
Ridiculous. That is ridiculous. So here we are. We're in New York. We're in a Humvee. You've got a bottle of water in your hand and you're determined to get across to the Pacific and drop it in the water.
Pour the water, because just so people don't accuse you of polluting the oceans there, Mike. You mean pour the water back into the sea, not throw the plastic bottle
No. You tip the plastic.
Yeah, I know.
It is all the same ocean. We just give it different names. But you pick it up from Atlantic, drop it in the Pacific. So you've got your Humvee. Who is beside you? Not a boyfriend or girlfriend. Who is beside you?
Oh, I can pick anyone
famous
in the world.
Faces.
Yeah, yeah. Anyone in the world.
Famous beside,
I mean, you mentioned Mike Tyson earlier. He could thump you. Who would sit beside you?
Eddie Murphy. If I'm going with Eddie Murphy.
Oh, man. How funny would that be?
His laugh alone would be amazing.
Do you know what's crazy about like Eddie Murphy? I think of late, people sort of see him as a joke, right? Like, because of some of the films he'd done may not have been like to the standard that they weren't
Beverly Hills Cop.
Yeah, exactly. And I think
funny.
But like he is still one of the funniest people I think in Hollywood. Even like all the other comedians when they talk about it, they're like when they go to his house and like there's all these other comedians around, he's still the funniest person in the room.
Mate, listen, I love the guy. He's a donkey in Shrek.
He's Professor Clump.
I love him for that.
He's probably like one of the funniest people that have ever lived. So just imagine in a car journey with him.
And plus he's
rich.
So we got Humvee. We haven't got $1 million on the roof. We've got Humvee, but we've got Eddie Murphy beside you. Yeah, meringues.
Meringues.
Got meringues.
The
and they might need a snack. Hold on, we'll get there in a minute.
We've got Korean chicken wings.
It's a glass box of Korean chicken wings.
We've got two empty seats in the rear. Who can you shove into the rear with you on this journey?
Is it John Turode and...
No.
Greg Wallace.
No. Who can I put in there? Any film.
Anyone. It doesn't have to be a movie star. It could be a musician. It could be a fellow comedian. It could be whoever you want. It could even be a fictional character, that, so long as we've heard of them. Yeah, and they could have passed on. You could have Einstein if you wanted, for example.
Or Darth Vader.
Yeah.
But you see Einstein and people, it'd be boring.
Well, I'm just saying, you could have...
I want to laugh. I want to have a laugh, right?
Well, that's good.
Yeah,
that's
solid. I'm not going to...
Footballer, maybe.
Is that
footballer who does a step over?
What, Ronaldo, you're thinking?
Yeah.
I'd go for Ronaldinho.
Ronaldinho would be
a lot more fun, I think, than Ronaldo. Like,
you'd want to get in a hot tub with Ronaldinho.
The thing is with Ronaldinho, I think he's still like, people still find him partying in random places. I mean, he got done recently with going into Paraguay with a fake passport and stuff. Like, he's a bit of a laugh, right?
He's
a bit
of an island just for the hell of it one time.
I think, like, the reason they got rid of him at Barcelona was because they didn't want Messi going partying. They were like, he's going to be such a bad influence on him. If they kept Ronaldinho at Barcelona, Lionel Messi would have been like, you know, a Eurovision contestant by now or something, right? I'd have Ronaldinho in the back, right?
Yeah, he couldn't have Ronaldo because Ronaldo would have snapped the rearview mirror off and just be staring at it constantly, wouldn't he?
Or David Beckham.
So you've got one more spare seat next year. Who's going to fill that one?
Right, let's just go with Jeremy Clarkson.
I love that. because you need a bit of controversy in the car, don't you?
Do you know what? You need
somebody who's going to say it as it is as you ride across the Americas.
I think you need some like sort of good controversy and conversation in there. Ronaldinho wouldn't have an idea what's going on.
He would be sitting there a bit oblivious.
Tequila'd. So here we go. We're in this car. We've set off from New York. You're driving across America. What's playing on the radio? What are you listening to?
Do you know what? It'd have to change, though. But, I mean, I'm a massive hip-hop fan.
Yeah, so
right,
what are you listening to?
Right. Let's play Jay-Z's Black Album.
Nice.
Fresh out.
Yeah.
Is that fresh out? I don't know.
It's a fair shout. No. Yeah,
it's a fair shout, not fresh out.
2003, I think it was.
2003.
I saw it live. He played Wembley.
Is it? Yeah. Oh, incredible.
Damn with the kids.
Used to be a million years ago.
Jay-Z concert.
It's great. He brought Chris Martin up on stage with him.
Did he?
It was very surreal because they're good mates.
Yeah.
Wow.
It was very weird because, you know, it was completely out of... The amazing thing about Jay-Z live... Sorry to interrupt you.
No, it's all right. Go for it, yeah.
The amazing thing about Jay-Z live, right, is that he does this bit where he's like, I see you, and he steps out into the front of the stage and he literally picks people from all over the stage and he describes them and he's like, with the amazing hair, I see you. And like, people...
Yeah, a few rappers do that now. Like,
it was brilliant.
Do you remember when he came out at Glastonbury to Wonderwall?
It's a while ago now because
I forgot, it was one of the Gallagher brothers, was like, hip-hop at Glastonbury.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And he was just like, can't have that. And he started playing that, he started his set playing that the audio of that interview, going, "You can't have hip hop at Glastonbury."
And he come out,
and he come out to Wonderwall with a guitar in his hand and everything, and it was just, it was incredible. And he was singing it, and it was just amazing. It was like, what a way to just go, "I heard you." Yeah. But yeah, whatever. Yeah, whatever. Like, yeah, just stayed silent throughout the whole controversy and came out.
I love that. Nice. I love that. So Jay-Z's
on the stereo.
Jay-Z's on the stereo. Amazed that Jay-Z didn't get a seat instead of Jeremy Clarkson now in the car.
Yeah.
I think that's a regret.
No, it's not a regret. Do you know what it is? I think Clarkson would be funny. I'd be like, "You can't say that anymore, mate. Can't say that." I think.
Yeah, okay.
You're trying out material, and if he's finding it funny, you can't say it.
Yeah. If Eddie's finding it funny, that's fine.
He's part of the cancel culture, isn't he?
Clarkson laughs, it's off the set.
Yeah, exactly.
So you're on the road.
But also, sorry to cut you off. Yeah, I think if anything happens to the car, Clarkson might have a clue what to do with it.
Oh. Very true. Very true.
I don't know.
Well, no, it would be true. He would go get somebody from production to fix the car.
Yeah, I was going to say, if he's filming, he'll be fine.
Right, so here we are in the Humvee. Eddie Murphy sat beside you, Jeremy Clarkson, Ron Odinio. You've got Jay-Z playing on the radio. What are you eating? What's the snack?
What we eat? Steak.
Steak.
Steak in the glove box.
Steak and
beef jerky. It'd be the beef jerky.
Oh, you're talking about snacks. Yeah, snacks. I thought you were stopping off.
No.
In-car snacks.
In-car snacks. Okay. Then we are having Pringles.
I love that.
What flavour?
Yeah, because once you pop, you can't stop.
It's going to be the regular. Right.
Not sour cream and chive.
Not the sour cream and chive.
Yeah, but it'd be very honky.
Clarkson loves a sour cream and chive, innit? And I don't really want him to have a lot of fun on it.
So you're bringing Clarkson in really as a torture device.
Essentially, yeah.
He's going to have the worst journey ever.
Yeah, but how funny would that be? Just seeing him squirm.
It would be interesting. You could pull over every time you see, like, you know, a field with cows in or whatever and go on, farm then.
Yeah. I mean, once we pull up to like a bunch of truckers, he can have a dialogue with them and see how they feel about him, which would be great as well.
Right, so here we are. We've just pulled into Santa Monica.
Nice.
On the west coast of America. Yeah. We're walking to the end of Santa Monica Pier to take in the view. There's you holding hands with Eddie Murphy, literally gazing into his eyes.
Behind Clarkson's you, giving Ronaldinho a piggyback.
Piggyback. As you walk to the end of the pier at Santa Monica and you're off, you know, to the end to go and look at the ocean, to go and drop your bottle of water in.
Yeah.
And then you can hear the sound of a Humvee crack up behind you and some Herber has stolen it. Okay. Stolen your Humvee.
Been lifted. Wow.
So now you need to get back
in Tulsa Hill.
It is. Yeah. Now you've got a choice. You can choose any car for your return journey and you can drop all your passengers except for one. Which one are you going back with? And what car are you taking them back in?
I'm going back with Eddie Murphy.
And so in a...
We're going to go for a Lamborghini Murcielago.
Get in. I love that. You'll get there in a quarter of the time that it took you to drive across in your Humvee.
I think Ronaldinho will love Santa Monica.
He'll be fine.
He'll be fine.
Get on the beach. A bit of beach football.
Him and Jeremy down on the beach playing football.
They'll probably end up best mates.
I think
it'd be great.
What a mixture.
I mean, just thinking about it now, I should have gone for Ally McCoist, but there we go.
Too late now. You have to save that for the next time. Listen, we really want to thank you for coming on our podcast.
It's been absolutely brilliant
to have you as a guest. We've got a nice little snapshot and an insight as to what makes you tick, your likes and loves just on that road journey. I know that we're all excited, and I hope the nation is excited about coming out to see you later on this year. One more final plug. Where can they see you this year?
KCurd.com. It's the Curd Immunity Tour. Come and see me. I am going to be in all the major cities and Westcliff-on-Sea.
Do you know what's fun? It's when one of you does one of those TV shows where you go back where you came from, you know, where did it all start?
Yeah.
Either of you will appear in whoever's authoring it will appear in the same show together.
Yeah,
fun.
It would be fun. Right,
kind of waving from the window.
boys from the same hood.
Yeah.
Listen, we wish you every success.
Thank you so much.
On your onward journey. We can't thank you. If you've enjoyed this podcast, don't forget we've got many other podcasts out there. We've had amazing guests like Kay, but we've also had the Richards, the Rawlins, and the Hammonds. We've had Matt Goss. We've had David Gandy. We've had the Wicked Tavarish.
Yep.
Who's that amazing YouTuber?
We're well into our alphabet of cars now.
I'm sitting in the same seat that Beverly Knight sat in. She's soon to be Dame Beverly Knight, surely, after an Olivier Award. Yes. So I'm sitting in the same seat she sat in. So make sure you go and find those and follow him, like him, subscribe to him, ring a bell. Do what you need to do. It's a follow it's for a podcast. Like,
yeah, just go with it. Send us some nice messages.
Leave us a five-star review if you can. We'll try and read it out on this podcast for you. In the meantime, I'd like you to all put your hands together for our wonderful guest, Kate.
Yeah. Oh, thank you.
Well done.
This has been a TBI Media production. Thank you for your company today. We'll be back again very soon.
The Wheeler Dealer podcast was brought to you by MyMotorWorld.com. Discover over 70,000 car parts, car care products, accessories and tools from the leading brands in automotive, all delivered to your door. Just visit mymotorworld.com. They've got the lot. If you're looking for a car, then why not try MikeBrewerMotors.com? You can find us out there on the internet. If you're looking for a used van and a cheap car, then why not try us at oneautomotive.co.uk? We got everything you could possibly need.
If you're a lineman in charge of keeping the lights on, Grainger understands that you go to great lengths and sometimes heights to ensure the power is always flowing, which is why you can count on Grainger for professional-grade products and next-day delivery, so you have everything you need to get the job done. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.